we're about to talk about is really good. In fact, let's do this. Let's go ahead and have our ushers bring the Bibles down in case, if you don't have a Bible, I'm just telling you, get a Bible, okay? Our ushers are going to come down. They're going to have a big ton of Bibles on them. Just throw your hand up if you don't have one with you, whether you own one or don't own one. If you don't own one, take it. It's a gift. But maybe you just left it at home or in the car or something. But get it. We're going to look at the book of James, chapter 5. And this is not what I was going to talk about this morning. But I'll be just completely honest with you. I sat last night studying on what I was going to talk about today and kept thinking about this. And just kept going, you know, I could scrap this message and just do it next week and I could talk about this. Because this has just been heavy on my heart. And I thought, you know, I know that there are people in our church that could really benefit from hearing this part of Scripture and for us to talk about this together today. And so I hope that this is good for you, and I think that it will be. God just really kind of got a hold of me with this passage of Scripture, and I'll be honest with you, I've shared it with like five or six different individual situations, whether it be in counseling or with our staff or with people that I'm discipling or with our guys in our community group on Sunday nights or whatever it is. This kind of came about that way. And basically, I'll just kind of take you back a little bit. A few weeks ago, Keith preached about, he preached Psalm 139 and talked about how we're prone to go toward the darkness. Like we want to go and hide with our sin, with our struggles that we don't want people knowing about them. We want people thinking that we got it all together because we think that they really think that. Guess what? They don't. But we want to do that. We want to go hide with those things and keep those things to ourselves. But doing so self-destructs us. And I don't think that we are just quite aware enough of that. And so what ends up happening is our sin destroys us. Sin destroys to begin with. Sin leads to death. And so we know that, and we know that the sin breaks God's heart, and He can't even be near sin. And we know those things. And so, you know, when sin first entered in the world, when Adam and Eve's situation, you know, from then on as man, you know, we've got sin. I've got four little girls, and one of them's kind of sickly today. But you know, you take any one of the four of my girls, and I have not had to teach any of them to be sinners. Okay. They were born good sinners from the get-go, okay? Even my porcelain doll little baby girl, Savannah, who is like the most amazing little baby you have ever met in your life and has now started doing this thing with me where like when I see her and like we, you know, she starts grinning at me and stuff, she immediately does like this. And so we do this together. And I don't know why we're doing it, but she thinks it's awesome and so we're doing it. She's not quite to the stage of sinning yet, unless you want to call her potty sin or something. I don't know. She's amazing, but she's a sinner. She's gonna break my heart. She's gonna break her mama's heart. She's gonna break God's heart. We sin. We have sin. So how do we deal with it? And so a few weeks ago, after Keith talking about that passage of us running into the darkness, I felt led to share with the guys in our community group that meets at our house on Sunday nights. We took a few minutes, and we don't always do this. It's kind of different in the community group if you've not been in one. The way we do it's different every week. But we took a few minutes, just me and the guys, and the ladies went and met downstairs and hung out together for a few minutes, checked on each other, and I just talked about sin, and I felt led to this passage of Scripture. And it's James 5, and I want you to go here with me. James 5. We're just going to take a couple of minutes here, and then we're going to be going to eat. Okay, so James 5, verse 13, and in this passage of Scripture, we see something that we as the church have practiced many times, and we've seen God work through it. We'll see that in just a second. But verse 13 says this. It says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise." So in other words, whether we're suffering, whether everything is, you know, the top of the world, we're supposed to be praying. We're supposed to be seeking God. We're supposed to be thanking Him. And in verse 14, it says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And this is something that we've practiced as a church. We've got a couple instances that I can name right off the top of my head. And in fact, they're both sitting in this room right now, of people that can attest to that God has healed them of cancer. And they came and approached us and said, hey, I want to do that. I want to ask that the elders of the church, and usually we'll bring the deacons in on that too, and we'll pray over those people. And we've done that, and we've seen God heal these people. This is amazing. This is huge stuff. And so we know without a doubt God can heal us of sickness. And I think that what we miss a lot of times is that our sin is sickness. You know? And so what could God do with that? If he can destroy cancer, if he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross that we might be forgiven of sin to begin with, would he not be willing to heal us of sin itself? And so you look at verse 16. And it's just talked about the healing of the sickness. And in verse 16 it says this, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. Oh, wait a second. That's talking about sickness, right? No. It's talking about sin. We don't confess sin to one another. We don't have Scripture teaching us to confess sin to one another that we can just feel better about ourselves. That everybody could just know our business, you know? Because to begin with, we don't want to air out our dirty laundry. We don't want people to really know what's really going on inside our heads and inside our hearts. How terrible we really are when nobody else is around. And this gives us the keys to be healed of the very thing that we wish we could get rid of. You see that? And this is huge. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. You remember the four guys that bring their buddy to Jesus? He can't walk. You remember that guy? You remember those guys? And they get to the house where Jesus is teaching in Scripture, and they get to that house and they can't even get in it because there's people. I mean, the people are just packed in there and all around it, and I mean, there's no getting in. And so they go up on top of the roof, and this is old school, you know, roof, and it's not, you know, architectural shingles like we got now or something here. And they were like made of kind of all kinds of mud and straw and all kinds of stuff like that. And they dug a hole in the roof. Okay, sounds crazy, I know, but they dug a hole in the roof, and they dropped their friend on a mat down. And I mean, just right in front of Jesus. I mean, you got to think, man, these guys nuts. You go back and look at that passage of Scripture. And if you'll look at that passage of Scripture talks about how Jesus heals him based upon their faith. Their faith. Not, it doesn't even say anything about his faith. And we don't know that he didn't believe or did not, you know, did or did not believe. But based on their faith, Jesus saw their faith and he healed him and he walked. Could we not have that kind of faith in God that we would pray for one another over one another's sin that we might be healed of our sins? Do you want to overcome sin in your life? I mean, we all want to overcome sin. Like, we all are like, I'd love to overcome my sin. That'd be fantastic. But you got to get your hands dirty. And you can't do it alone. We need Jesus. It's His blood that was shed on the cross that forgives us of our sin to begin with, but we have to receive it. And therefore, beyond that, Scripture is teaching us today that if we want to conquer it, if we want to be healed of it, as it says, we should confess it to one another. and that we would pray for one another with faith, right? Not just like, you know, we're not just praying for that. We're believing that God is going to heal us of this, going to heal that friend of ours, going to heal that person, that if we confess it to them, we're confessing it to them, not just so we can get it off our chest, but so that they will pray for us, which means we need to be specific in who we're asking. We don't need to confess it to somebody that doesn't believe in the power of God. We need to confess it to somebody that will believe and pray. Not like that night. I'm talking about like right then. Pray right then. At the heart of us being in community with one another, this is key. Like, and I love having cookouts with our group and stuff like that. I love doing that kind of stuff. But the truth is that these are the people that we need to be. This is the church. That we would confess to one another what's really going on, and that we would do so praying for one another that we would be healed of our sin. This is a huge piece for us in our lives. And today, I want to challenge you. Number one, trust in Christ. Trust in Jesus. Put your faith in Him. Believe. Believe in Him. And maybe you have believed before. Maybe you put your trust in Him and you know that God saved you through His Son and forgiven you of your sin. Let me just tell you, you don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. God wants you to have freedom. We just sang a song that sang. We sang about our freedom from our sin. But yet so many of us are walking around in chains and shackles, still slaves to it. And I'm here to tell you today that God didn't send His Son to die on a cross that we would still be slaves to sin. He wants us to be freed. He wants us to be healed of it. I got to brag on my guys. That night that I felt led to share on this, I'll be honest with you, it was kind of one of those in-the-moment things. We kind of do a lot of off-the-cuff deal in our community group deal, and I just was like, I'm going to look at James 5 as we're talking about this. And so I started reading this passage, and that's when God really began to speak to my heart about this and really show me just how powerful He is and how powerful our faith in Him to do things like this that could glorify Him really is. And so I shared all this stuff, and as I'm reading the passage, it starts to unfold in my heart, and I start sharing it, and I'm like, guys, are you seeing what this is saying? It's talking about, you know, healing the sick, but then it's talking about healing us of our sin the same way. It's like, guys, this is what we want. I told him, I kind of got to the end of it. I said, guys, I'll just be honest with you. I didn't share this today so that we'll have like some like fest of crying or whatever here, you know. But God's just speaking. And so we talked for a few more minutes, and we got to the end, and I just said, hey, you know, before we, you know, we kind of split up, guys, girls, whatever. And before I said, before we all get back together and hang out, I said, any of you guys got anything we can just pray for you about? And one of the guys just immediately, like he'd been waiting for it. He was like, you know, I don't have a prayer request, but I need to confess my sin. And he did. And then another guy, I need to confess my sin, and he did. And I'm not talking about like I ran a stop sign yesterday, okay? I'm talking about real, real stuff. The kind of stuff that we don't tell people because we're so worried about what they're going to think of us. And we all, before it was over with, we all confessed our sin to one another. And then I looked at my guys and I said, guys, here's the deal. I was like, we're not going to do this and not follow through with what Scripture teaches us to do. We're going to pray. We're going to believe that God wants to heal us of these things and that He'll be glorified for it in our lives. And so that's what we did. And you can ask any of the guys that were there that night, what's it been like since then? We talked about it last week. And I'll just tell you, it's been like freedom. There's been this unbelievable, amazing amount of freedom to just know that does not have power over me. And I don't have to say yes to it. In fact, I can just say it no. Say no. Doesn't mean I've been made perfect. I was already made perfect in the eyes of God through His Son Jesus. Through believing in Christ and what He's done on the cross, receiving Him as my Savior. I was made perfect in His eyes before then. But still, as a sinner who's still going to struggle with sin, I need people in my life that I can confess my sin to and that we can pray that we might be healed of it. And you do too. So, you got to get your hands dirty. If you really want to overcome sin in your life, if you really want God to have victory over it in your life, this is a part of it. We were created needing each other. We were created, we need Jesus, and we need community with others that love Jesus and follow Him with their lives. However you got to get to that, you need to get to that. If you don't have that right now in your life, if you're not in community with other believers that you can do this with, you need to change that. You need to change that for your family. Dudes, dads, husbands, you need to lead your family into that. You need to lead your families into places where they can grow up, where your kids can grow up in a place where they could go confess sin if they needed to. So if they're not willing to do it to you, they could do it. They could confess it to somebody else that's in that group or whatever. However it looks, doesn't matter. We need to live that out. It's living gospel. Maybe you're here today, maybe you've never trusted in Christ. Maybe you never allowed Him to just save you from your sin. Maybe you're still a slave to it. You don't have to be. God doesn't want you to be. He sent His Son so you wouldn't have to be. If you want to talk about that at the end of the service today, we'll be here. If you want to come today at the end of the service and confess sin and somebody really pray over you, that you'd be healed of that, we'll be down here hanging out. We'd love to pray with you. Let's pray together.